Mr. Lewin, Unreal 25. So, were you pleased with the treatment you received?
I felt that they knew what they were doing, and they were very, they had a nice way of doing it, you know. And they gave you every encouragement, and he explained to me that everything would be gradually stepped up, that sooner or later I would be told to start building up my strength a bit and doing a bit, to sort of, because I've lost a bit of weight, quite a bit of weight. And he said, I said, oh, it will come back to you, but he said, it'll have to be done gradually. And he said, if you do as we tell you, you'll be all right. And that's what I did. I felt that I could, whatever they said, I'd just did it,
What did you feel about, becoming well again and the prospect of going back into the front line?
Oh, I didn't worry about that. The reason I didn't worry about that was because I knew that sooner or later I would go back, of course, but it didn't bother me that much. I was more concerned with I'd felt so rotten, And when I'd had a look at myself in the mirror and I could understand why I was so smart and poor I was, I wonder where he is now. Anyway, I could understand why he asked so many questions, because I would look pretty dreadful. But I was more concerned with that, really.
And so you had your period in the convalescent depot. Yeah, what happened there?
Well, I had me 2 weeks there. And by the end of the 2 weeks, I was due to go before another good checkup. So this time there were three of them, and three officers at the table, and they gave me a real good do. And I said, they asked me to do a few exercises. They told me what to do, and I did them. And the reason for that was because they wanted to see what sort of condition I was in after I'd done them. And so I did that, and then they said, one of them said, well, go outside, and he said, just go outside and wait for a little while, he said, and then we'll call you anyway, and we have to. So they must have chewed me out of them, that sort of thing. I went out and waited, and went in and called me in again. So one of them said, well, we've decided that you've made good progress since you've been here, because and it's pretty obvious that you've been trying. And I said, I have. He said, well, he said, you've got to keep doing that, because he said, we can't really do much more for you here, but he said, we can send you to a centre not far from here, similar to this, where you can become a bit more mobile and start to build up your strength a bit, and just get generally stronger. But I said, at the moment you're not in a, we can't really let you go as you are now, you'll have to build some strength up a bit. But I said, in order to do that, we'll have to send you to this other place. They said, it's not very far away. We'll send you there, and he said, you'll get the same treatment as you get here. You'll have a diet, and your food will be watched and everything, and you'll have a keeper check on you. And he said, the rest is up to you, he said, because you'll be given the chance to exercise, and he said, nobody's going to hurry you. He said, you just do what you want to do, when you want to do it. And he said, then he said, we'll have a look at you again. So, and I said to him, well, how long is that going to take? So he said, well, he said, we would like you to take, you've had 2 weeks here. And he said, if you can make the same progress in this other place in the same period of time, you should then be ready to return to your unit. He said, well, I suppose you want to do that, don't you? So, of course, largely I said yes, but you see, that was just for the occasion. Anyway, that was that. So we had a different program to work entirely in this new place. And
what was different?
Nothing. Well, it was just slightly differently set up. They had some, you know, the various places where you could do this exercise and that sort of thing. Because everything was, you weren't sort of stood over or anything like that. You were just told some sort of a program, and they just left it to you.
What were the exercises?
Well, the general exercises, such as you would do in with physical training.
So press ups and
doing, that's it. You know, with the arms and legs and that sort of thing. But that's when I was weak. It was the legs really that were worse, and so that's what I had to build up, you see, because he said you'll have to go through the first week, and he said at the end of that first week, he said you will then start to get some exercise and get your legs strong, because that's what we want to get your legs strong. Once you've got that, he said that the rest of your body will be all right. He said, we've got rid of all the bugs out of you, which they had, and he said, it's now just a case of pure physical fitness and strength. So I went through that fortnight and that second week, and then, as I say, as he said, they had me back in and they gave me another good going over, and they were satisfied, and they said, well, now we'll see about getting you back to your unit. So he said, have you any idea where your unit is? I said, well, all I can tell you, I said, is that, and I said, I'm only guessing. I said, by the way, before I say anything, I said, what's happened to Naples? He said, well, don't worry about Naples. He said, we've got Naples. So I said, oh, well, I said, that'll be north of Naples. He said, I said, not too far, but I said, they'll be north of Naples. Yeah, by now. And I said, that's only, he said, is that a guess? I said, yes. Well, he said, you're not far out. No, which I wasn't. But anyway, that was only a guess, as I said. So he said, well, he said, if you feel you're going to be able to do it all right, he said, then we'll give you the okay. And because I had access to all the showers and things like that, you know. I mean, I wasn't the only one, there were others there besides me. So I could only, they were ever so good, they really were, you know. So, what happened then was that, that was the next morning, I was due to make a move out of there. So the bloke came to see me, he said, you're going today? And I said, yeah. He said, oh, he said, you'll be going straight to Naples, he said, from here. He said, I asked that yesterday, because you see, when I left the battalion, we hadn't got to Naples. I knew that by that time we would have done. But anyway, I thought we would. But the one big thing about it was that bloody volcano, that was the one thing that frightened me, because I wasn't concerned with that. Because I left the battalion before they went.
So Neville had fallen by the time.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, they decided to put the Bailey Bridge across the volcano. They never even finished it. But there you are. I mean, that was all I thought of that one, really.
So what was the process of getting back to the battalion?
Well, I was put on a hospital ship again. But this time I went straight to Naples, and I was able to, together with others, we went into Naples, and then we went into a transit camp put her off to the hospital, but went into a county camp. And then we just had to wait until we were sent in all directions. And there was then I met up with some more. I didn't really know. I knew maybe one or two of them. And I recognised the faces, but there were one or two more.
So you recognised a couple of men in the transit camp?
I recognised a couple then, and but you know, I was then starting to think about getting back and that sort of thing, and that was really all that was in my mind at the moment, because I...
You were keen to get back?
Well, in a way I was, because I had next to no kit, you know, I goodness only knows where the toy had gone, where that had gone. And I just had a few things in a small pack. And
had the mail kept up with you during your travels from home?
No.
So they wouldn't have known what had happened to you?
No, there was some mail for me. There was some mail for me at the battalion, but not until I got back.
And did your family know what it was?
No.
So they really didn't know what had happened to you?
No, they didn't know. They didn't know. They didn't know. Well, I wasn't married then, but my mother didn't know. She knew where I was, I think.
She knew you were alive, still?
Well, I suppose she hoped I wasn't. But I hadn't written. That was another thing, you see. So being away like that, I said to this bloke Cross, this Lieutenant Cross, I said, because letters were sent to them, and I said, you sent that off for me, so I said. He said, yeah, of course I will. And I wrote this letter to my mother and got him to censor it, and he gave it to me back. And something happened, I don't know where it was. Something happened. I put this letter down like that and walked away and left it there. So he'd sent her the letter for nothing, and my mother never even got it.
Somebody'd stolen it?
No, I don't know what happened to it. When I went back to find it, it wasn't there, so I just gave up then. but there was another thing really about that lieutenant, because I said to you that when that sergeant, and I first spoke to that sergeant, I found out they did this pay thing, you know, looking after. They used to run the pay in the convalescent place, you see. That was his responsibility, him and his lieutenant Cross. So, I got talking to this sergeant, and a boat came in. Somebody came in, and I spoke to this sergeant, and they said something. He said, "This I don't know who he was." This fellow said, he said to this sergeant, he said, "Oh, he said I've been sent in." He said, "To sign them something called an equipment roll." He said, "I don't know what that is." He said, "But he said, no, perhaps you could tell me." He said, "I'm standing there." I said, "Yeah." I said, "No, he wasn't talking to me. He was talking to the sergeant." So I said, before the sergeant said anything, I said, "Oh, God." And the sergeant looked at me, and through one thing and another, he gradually found out that I'd been concerned with that sort of thing, with the pay grades and etc., you know, equipment rolls and all that sort of thing, regimental paymasters and things like that. He suddenly found out, you see. This bloke signed this equipment, so he went out. But this sergeant said to me, "She said, would you fancy a job here?" I said, "No, sir, it's not here long enough." I said, "I'm going to be pushing on." So he said, "Well," he said, "I'm in Marshall here." He said, "You've only just arrived, really." He said, "Why don't you come in here and do a bit in here?" He said, "You know what you're talking about, this." So I said, "No." I said, and he said, "I'll speak to Mr. Cross." He said, I said, "Oh, well, please yourself." I said, so I let it go like that. I never heard anything that day anymore. And the next day, this Lieutenant Cross sent for me. And he said, "Would you be interested in helping us in here?" So I said, "Yeah, I don't mind." I said I'd rather like it. But I said I must keep to my thing in here. I said I've got a program here, and I've got to keep that. Oh, he said you could do that. He said I can do that. And he said you do that right. So he said all right. He said we'll start tomorrow then. I said all right. And that was it. So see, it wasn't until I went in the next day and I chatted with this. I got on well with this sergeant. I don't know what his name was, but anyway, he was in the Royal Army Service Corps, incidentally. But anyway, I touched chatting to this sergeant, and he said, of course, he said, I don't know if he realised it, he said that, he said, this, of course, he said he's a bit of a soap. I said, what do you mean, like, he's a boozer, he said, he said, yeah. He said, vino. Oh, I said, that's terrible stuff. Well, he said, that's it. Yes, that's his stuff, and he said he's addicted to it. Because he had to look about him and say, you know, he looked very watery eyed and pale faced. And I mean, he was a lovely client, no reason for him to be like that, but that's how he was. But that was the reason for it. But he was a nice chap, nice enough chap, you know. So it was strange that he should find out about the medal business. Mm. I never did find out the reason for that.
So what was an acquittance roll? What was an acquittance
roll? Well, the acquittance roll is what, when you put on a paper roll, you have, it's like, you've got a sheet there, and can I just take on that? You've got a sheet there, you see, now you have to put the acquittance roll as a printed thing, and it's got a carbon copy there. And all the names and numbers are down here, and the amount is in a thing here, and then there's a section here that as you come up and you draw your pay, the officer gives you your pay, and then you sign the sheet here. That is what, this is what I call the equipment roll. They always have them on every pay parade, you know, if it's a routine pay parade, that they always have that, because that is what goes to the regimental paymaster for your debits and credits and paying for equipment and all sorts of things.
And obviously you'll have known about this from your days in Rye and the start.
You are all, you know. And this sergeant realised it, you see.
And so you were doing that for a little while?
Well, I only as long as I was there.
Now, you got back to Italy and to the...
I got back to Naples, yeah.
And the reinforcement camp there.
And then I got into the transit camp there. Eventually I got sent back, and I discovered that the few boats, DR boats that I'd seen, were all in different countries to me anyway. And that was probably the reason why I didn't recognise them perhaps as I should have done. If they'd have been in my company, obviously I'd recognise them. Anyway, I didn't. There weren't many of us that went back. We had just a little group of us.
About how many?
And then we, after the tent, there would be about 8 to 10 of us, and they all went to their different companies.
So how long do you think?
None of them were in D company. I was the only D company.
And other veterans have said that, was there like an unwritten rule that you went back to your own company when you were?
If you could. Yeah.
But not necessarily.
Oh, well, depends on the situation. I mean, for instance, Taffy.
James.
James. Well, you see, the whole of Taffy's time in training, I'm talking about in England, it started off in a quarter company, became a signal sergeant. And then went to CQMS headquarter company. He then went to CQMS to D company, by which time the battalion had got to Rye. And of course Taffy Jones was at Winchelsea. That was Taffy's record up to then. But once we left Rye, once we left Rye, that's when some changes came about. Cathy was one of them. So we went to we went to Camberley, and then Taffy, and then we went to North Africa, and of course at the end of North Africa we went to Bleeder, and now Bleeder was the was where there was a lot of changes, and we had a lot of, like I told you, the young soldiers came, and the other reinforcements came as well.
So basically you could be...
Taffy's position then was that he wasn't looking for a company, but he would have carried on in D Company. But the fact that we did need the reinforcements, we'd lost people in North Africa, so we needed the reinforcements, and so therefore there have been quite a lot of people were promoted. Ray Sarge was one of them, he was my sergeant at Bleeder. And Taffy James was also promoted to CSM. Well, he went, he was then posted into C Company. And he spent the rest of his service in C Company, which was the first time he'd ever been in C Company. The only other time he knew C Company was when they were billeted, C Company and D Company were billeted together at Winchelsea, which Charlie Gray will tell you about.
When you went back to Italy, you were hoping to go to D Company, but you wouldn't have been surprised if you'd have been put into company.
No, because it had happened to me before. I mean, I started off in North Africa in C Company, and then I was drafted into D Company, into Duffy's Company.
And you would be, you'd have been a sergeant at this stage?
Well, I don't know. I can't. Well, you mean what's made for that?
When you were coming back to Italy?
Well, not necessarily. Oh, I suppose had I kept well, fit and well, I probably would have been, yeah. But, geez, I've been away sick, you see, and that long time, you see.
Did that have an effect on your rank then?
No, because I was more substantiated corporal. I've been corporal for a long time. And, it didn't make any difference now. I've still held the corporal. But you only need 3 months for that. And, I've been a corporal for quite a long time. So that didn't make any difference to me. I think I might well have been promoted had I, as you say, not got this malaria and that sort of thing.
So how long were you in the transit? How long were you in this reinforcement camp in Italy for?
Well, I was only in the transit camp long enough to get. They got enough of us together, and then they sort of every now and again they clear out, and everybody goes when they can build up a convoy, send them all out, and then they get another lot in, and so it goes on and on all the time. So.
Now, while you were in Bizerte and while you were ill, there was the so-called mutiny took place. did you hear anything about this? The mutiny of members of the Eighth Army that were sent as reinforcements to Salerno. Did you hear anything about?
Oh, we were in Salerno then.
You heard about it even then?
Well, we were in Salerno. That was after the landing.
Mm-hmm. And did the news filter up even at that stage?
About the mutiny?
Yeah, about the men that didn't want to go to the 46th Division.
Yeah, and they gave me tape of that.
And what did you think about it at the time?
Tell you the truth, I haven't heard it. Because I can't do it on my...
In 1943, did you hear about the mutiny at that stage?
Yeah, we heard about it because we were in Salerno. That was after the landing. They came over from Sicily, didn't they? That's right. Because we had some of them.
And
we had some of them in our company.
And you had reinforcements before you were invalided out from that group.
From where?
From the so-called mutineers. They'd already joined the battalion.
Well, that's what they were sent over for. Yeah, because they were all DLI, weren't they? They were an eighth army DLI, weren't they? That's right.
And so did they fit in well? Did they?
Oh yeah, yeah, okay. I had two in my platoon one time. Three I had in my platoon, because they all got suspended sentences, you know. I mean, it made a difference to their release group. They were, some had court martial and some didn't.
Now, what was their attitude at the time that you knew them? Were they? Do you think they?
Well, well, I mean, they clearly thought that they should have gone home and wanted, you see. Oh yeah, there was no doubt about that. But.
So they still felt hard done by.
Oh yeah, but they never took it out on anybody. They did what they were asked to do, but I wouldn't say they didn't. They weren't awkward about it, but oh no, they were clearly disappointed. You know. I've spoken to them about it. As I say, I had two or three in my platoon in one time.
Can you remember what they were called?
No, I can't remember. I can see a face, but I can't remember a name really. But I know they followed me, you see. Because at the end of the day, when those of us who finished up in the visit, the first or the second battalion in Greece, in Albania. First battalion was it, or the second? But anyway, all those blokes, those eight army blokes, were in there. They were in that draft because their release numbers were all around 40 odd.
So they fitted in quite well when they joined you.
Yeah, they were okay. I didn't have any. No, they were just bitter about it all. And, you know, they didn't think they were any better than us or anything like that. They were. You could say that they had more service abroad than we did, but. And they'd seen the sticky end of it long before we did, but nevertheless they took to it. They took to it and worked, you know.
Now,
they were okay.
Just to backtrack, Mr. Lewandon, we've moved forward a little bit from the incidents in mid September, and. We've mentioned briefly the ambush on the Castel Volturno.
Oh yeah.
And if we could talk about that and the lead up to that and what you can remember about that particular incident.
We knew that the most important of the two, what should I call it, waterways. was the Volturno, because of the fact that it was so much wider. The actual, that canal thing, that was a deep canal, that was a deep water. And you had to be able to get across. I mean, if you did go in the water, if you couldn't swim, you were in a good depth of water. Fairly good depth of water. It wasn't that wide, but it was deep. But the Volturno was another problem altogether because it was so wide. Much wider, very much wider. And of course, you see that ambush came about because the German sent a strong patrol over and laid that ambush. It meant that our company was. We took the sticky end of that because